Good morning to everyone. I want to thank you for the interest in Grupo Nutresa and your attendance to the conference for results of the first quarter of 2016. We have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the CEO of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penasos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Alejandro Jiménez, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation, I'd like to inform the President and Vice President of Corporate Finance for the results of the last quarter. We'll start the Q&A session. The answers that we receive through the webcast will be read literally. I'll leave it with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the CEO of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Welcome to our conference of results for the first quarter 2016. To start with, I'd like you to go to slide number two, and let me show you three events of interest, which is for this quarter. First of all, I would like to share that for the first time in history, Grupo Nutresa has gone over 1 billion pesos in EBITDA year to date, and we did that as a result of a consistent internationalization strategy. This is reflected when you see that more than 40% of our sales for this period were outside of Colombia. Secondly, we can tell you that news related to innovation called Ciencias, which is the administrative science department in ecology and innovation in Colombia, selected 89 companies as highly innovative companies. Among them, six are members of the Nutresa, Grupo Nutresa, Nacional de Chocolates, Colcafé, Doria, Mills and Seno. And this means that we will have all the support that we require by the government for them to grow the industry based on effective innovation. And lastly, Merco, which is the business monitor for corporate reputation, highlighted Grupo Nutresa as the second most responsible and best corporate governance in Colombia. These are three significant events and which are moving us to carry on. Let's go to the numbers. Go to slide number three. We'll tell you the sales in Colombia and this international sales. I'll start by saying that we had excellent growth in Colombian sales. We have a 15.5%, 1.25 billion pesos. The organic sales were 1.8 billion, it grew at 9.2%. This is also sound growth driven by the activities we've been carrying out in marketing and with some stable volumes. You can see there the growth is 0.5% and the growth in price of 10%. We should mention that this quarter has one less working day compared to the previous year. The sales per working day by tons, 2.8%. That is why we say that there is a relative volume stability. With respect to price, that 10% comes from a combination of several items. On the one hand, changes in the product mix, the launch of higher added value innovations, proper management of discounts and promotions, some specific strategies for different distribution channels, and lastly, the price adjustments that we've been making since the previous year. And you can see in each businesses in the market, you can see that all businesses have grown. Three of them have positive variations in terms of volume, specifically biscuits, coffee, and ice cream, and other three have decreased volumes but are within the ranges that we expected for the businesses according to the various price and demand elasticity. So we have a very good third quarter for sales in Colombia. Now let's combine this with market shares. With respect to international sales, they got to 40.5% of the group's total sales. As we said, this is a record in our history. In terms of dollars, this were $261.6 $1.5 million, with a growth of 0.7%. And converted to Colombian pesos, this 851 thousand million with a growth of 32.4%. There are two businesses to which I will refer specifically. We see growth. In the case of chocolates, it's a minus 12.4, which is very much related to lower exports of cocoa because of a business strategy. And the second place is the devaluation to local currencies in countries where we are present. In Chile, in Femeluc, at minus 10.4, is explained by the exchange effect. The Chilean peso, we increased both in Femeluc and sales because they also have exports in Chile, and we also grew in terms of exports. So these are international sales that are very good, and we see a growth in dollars, which is slightly higher than in the previous year. I'm going to slide number four, combining those sales, national and international sales. We have total sales of 2.1 billion pesos, growing 21.9%. And organically, our growth was 17.9%. This behavior is outstanding. The multi-Latin strategy that I mentioned earlier, we have double-digit growth in all units that have an international presence, and this sound sales growth also enables us to advance with the security to achieving the mega that we have for 2020, which is to have the same or higher sales than 2013. In 2020, we should have 11.5 billion pesos, Colombian pesos, an important factor for the sales in the innovation companies. It's important to highlight that 16.9% of these sales come from innovation. Let's go to slide number five there. When we analyze the sales by region, showing 40.5% of international sales, 59.5% in Colombia. Colombia is still the main geography. Central America reached 10.1%. It grew vis-a-vis that 9.3 that it showed at the end of the previous quarter. The third geography is the U.S., which represents 9.3% of the sales. It had 8.2. And the fourth geography is Chile, which is 8.6% of sales, and the previous quarter was 8.3%. We should also tell you that Venezuela, we're using the new rate, which is the marginal foreign exchange rate, which is 270 in March, very much higher. It's 35% higher, the Simavi rate. This is a rate which is variable and will enable us to adjust little by little the Venezuelan figures to what is actually happening in that market. We've always told you that the price variable that we used last year and to a lower extent in the first quarter is a variable that we always take care of vis-a-vis the accessibility of the Nutresa products. We want to have the products affordable for the consumers, and that is reflected in the market shares. That we can see in slide number six, where we, in this quarter, have 61.2% market share. We grew 0.4% vis-a-vis the same period the previous year. And we grew 0.1% compared to the end of 2015. There are very important categories such as meat products, bulk cuts. I mean, we have 73.7%, we're going to 0.6%. The biscuits also 56.1%. In chocolates, in the confectioneries and nuts, we grew, and we have in milk modifiers and growth in coffee, insoluble coffees, and roast and ground, which also has a decrease because of the competition. We grew, but there are competitors that have grown more. And at the end, look, In the previous conference, we said that there are small decreases because we preferred profitability over volume. And the good news is that we've been recovering share, and we hope to have positive news in the next conferences. In Passat, we have a slight decrease. We have 51%, 9%. We did not reveal and disclose Iceland because of the reliability of the sources. And in retail food, we have food share. We have an adequate balance between growth and profitability. And we did not sacrifice any market share. Let's go to the cost side. In slide number 7, we can see in the graph on the left the commodity index, commodities index or Nutresa. Most countries decreased vis-a-vis the same quarter previous year. Exception is sugar, which increased 10.1 in terms of dollars, and cocoa, which grew 1. This graph, which as I said is in dollars, when we applied the evaluations to convert it into local currency, in most cases, has significant increases. We've been managing those, as we said, combining internal productivity strategies and pricing strategies that always taking care of our shares and trying to affect the volumes as little as possible. With respect to the various cost components, packaging materials are still the highest cost. They represent 13.3%. The second item is coffee, and then pork, and then wheat is number 4. In general, we maintain a position which, thanks to that portfolio of categories in which the group participates, we also have a portfolio of inputs, and we don't depend on a single one. And we handle our coverage strategies. We maintain physical inventories when they are good terms for negotiation, and with a team that is dedicated to managing this variable in the best way possible. Now, with a vision of the commercial part and our market share and of the cost of our cost basket, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Domingo Penagos, our Vice President of Corporate Finance. We'll give you more details with respect to profitability. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning. To analyze in the area of profitability, let's go to slide number 8. Where you can see the excellent EBITDA production with a value of 281,000 million Colombian pesos, with a growth close to 20%, very much aligned with the behavior of sales and producing a margin of 13.4% in the upper part of the range. We have a very good profitability in this period for the entire group. Analyzing business by business, we have in the cold cuts have an excellent quarter in terms of margin because of the higher average prices applied to since the beginning of the end of 2015 and a controlled marketing activity during the entire quarter. This has given such good profitability, and that is why we have such good growth in EBITDA. In the biscuits, we have a good performance in terms of margin, very good growth. It's in the middle part of the range. Good business performance helps a lot to generate EBITDA in this business, as we saw in the commercial part. This business has most of the revenue come from international activities. In this case, those dollars help a lot to produce the EBITDA. This is the summary of the biscuits. In chocolates, we have the same trend that we have had since the previous year. The cost increase in raw materials, which we're talking about cocoa, very high increase in at the end of last year, and is maintained for this first quarter. The business, anyway, we had some price increases, and this helped to avoid a bigger decrease in profitability. Cocoa is the highest price in commodities, and the rate of exchange has also had a very strong effect, and that is why chocolates is below the range. Tres Montes located, we see an increase compared to the same period previous year. It's very positive, close to 16% with a margin of 10.7%. We have some projects that we've mentioned in previous conferences. We have the agriculture we have in Chile and Mexico. The margin would be 11.6%. It's relevant when we analyze the profitability of TML. Look at the in coffee. We have a very good EBITDA, outstanding growth and margin. And this would be a result of the good commercial dynamics in Colombia and exports. Close to half of the income is from exports, and the dollars go directly to profits, and it has a very good dynamics and very good sustainability. Retail food, the margin in this business for the quarter is affected basically because of inflation. This is a very fixed expense type of business, and it has a certain degree of seasonality. We should highlight the fact that we take very good care of the price structure so we don't affect the transactions. Transactions are sustained and they're doing very well, good performance. From the ice cream, the profitability is still improving. It has a behavior of a margin of 15.7%, good growth close to 26-27%. The weather innovations, the good commercial dynamics help a lot to decrease the fixed cost, and we still have a very outstanding dynamics in this ice cream business during this quarter. And lastly, we have the pasta business. The impact of the devaluation, the cost of wheat, the main raw material, most of the cost has an effect, and that's where we can see the profits decrease. So this is a business, and by group also, it's a good performance in terms of profits. Let's go to slide number 9, and we have the statement of results for the quarter for the entire group. You can see here that the revenue for the group grew double digits with a very positive trend, very similar to what we had in the previous year. And the gross margin decreases close to 50 basic points due to the higher cost in pesos of some of these raw materials that we already mentioned. However, this effect on the margins is less than we had seen from the previous year. In some quarters, we had differences up to 90 base points. This has been decreasing. The growth of revenue has been leveling out with the increase in prices. We have to highlight specific behavior, especially in administrative expenses, very good control, and also for fixed expenses, they're also responding to the increasing growth. So these are very much in alignment with what we had for the end of last year. And they grow at a lower rate than inflation. The sales expenses has an effect of the consolidation of El Corral. And without that effect, we would have to say that they grew around 18%. We have 25.6. Give you two numbers here. The revenue, organic revenue without El Corral is 18%. And the expenses for sales, also 18%, very much aligned with the increase in growth. The difference in operating rate of exchange is due to the working capital rate of exchange is lower than the previous year. The devaluation during the quarter was less than the same period in the previous year. This is from the operating point of view. After this operating profit, which goes very much in line with revenue, 17.84%, we have the effect of leveraging for the acquisition of El Corral. We have been in previous conferences, specifically this debt was taken out in February 2015, and we also the increase in the reference rates. Our rates are BCE, and these are reference rates have increased over the past quarter in the case of the TBL is up close to 200 basis points. ETP is close to 300. And these 300 basis points increases the average cost of our debt, the higher volume and the higher cost of the reference rates. We also have the dividends as the distribution of the profits agreed by the shareholders' assembly in Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos. And lastly, let's say that the loss due to monetary position in this item includes the adjustments due to inflation in Venezuela, the income tax is also increasing because of the adjustments in Venezuela as well, and because an increase close to about 1% in the surcharge for the tax in Colombia. The deferred income tax is explained because of the use of fiscal shields, which referred in previous conferences. And lastly, we see the final results, net profit, which grew close to 1%, which is 152,000 million Colombian pesos. This is the summary of our statement of results for this first quarter. Let's go to slide number 10. We can go over our debt position in the structure of it. We can see that the net debt over EBITDA is 2.86 times, very much aligned to the indicator that we closed at the end of the 2015. And although it's a heavier quarter in terms of working capital and taxes, and even with those increases, we were very much aligned with what we had ended 2015. And we can ratify our outlook, and we have so said that in the previous conference, the close of this indicator for the year could be around 2.5, 2.7 times. It also, EBITDA helps a lot here. We'll mention it here. Between the highlights, is for the first time we have 12 months or a full year to date with over 1 billion Colombian pesos in EBITDA. And this helps us control these results. The average financing rate, in this case, we're talking about 7%, 7.5 in December. Now, when I said the reference rates, this is basically what is going on. The reference rates, and this increases the rates of reference, and the increase here, we show some of the maturities we had for 2016 and 2017, and that affected our cash flow for the next few years. We have up to 8 years. We had that very much in line with the EBITDA that we have projected for the intermediate term. That's for the debt point of view. We also have CapEx, and we surely share you with the CapEx for 2016, the first quarter, is almost 55,000 million Colombian pesos, with a budget we had shared about 382,000 million pesos. We're going to be meeting that budget, and that use of CapEx for the first quarter reinforces that. So this would be the end of this section about profitability and debt. And I'll go to Carlos Ignacio again so he can tell us the outlook that we have for the rest of 2016. Since the previous conference, we have told you that for this year, we see a challenging year, but also, although Latin America expects lower economic growth for this year, our geographies, the geographies with Grupo Nutresa is more active, are behaving better than the average. And we believe that we have the ability and the strategy that in those conditions we can maintain good business dynamics. We believe that we're going to have similar volumes. We don't see any major drops. We're going to be highly active in innovation. We're going to investment in local currencies, and the combination of these factors makes us I'm pretty sure that we're going to maintain our profitability within our quarter. We have a very good beginning of the year, which is used as a basis to continue growing and maintaining our profit levels that, like the ones the group wishes to have for the rest of the year. That is what we have as an outlook, and I'll go back to our investor relations director so we can go to the Q&A. Thank you very much. We'll start the Q&A session. Thank you for your questions to the webcast. We will read them as they come, literally, and in a few seconds we will give you instructions of how to ask your questions to the phone. I'll read a question, or two questions that we already have through the webcast. I'm going to put them together because they're related to the same business unit. Alejandro Isaza from Ultracelfinco, and I read it as well. Would you go a little bit deeper into the behavior of the consumer food? What is the growth? What is represented by prices? What is the consumer dynamics in this segment? And the second question is about the same business unit. It says by Sergio Matsumoto from the Citibank, and I quote, the contraction of the EBITDA margin for food services in the first quarter of 16, could that be an indication for the trend for the year for 2016? What factor could help in the next few quarters? I give you the floor to Carlos Ignacio for the answer. Thank you, Sergio and Alejandro, for sharing. I'd like to say, first of all, that when we look at the figures for consumer foods, we are combining the ice cream shops in the Caribbean, Central America, and the business of El Corral Group in Colombia. First of all, what you can see is a major average, big average. In general, it's also important to notice that El Grupo El Corral, the previous year, we only consolidated 1 month, and in this year, we're consolidating 3 months. That is why the variations are not shown in detail. After the next quarter, we will, that because we will have comparable scenarios. General comments, the general dynamics is very good. The cream shops are having both in transactions and average ticket, and we also have them in regions where there was no devaluation. In Colombia, we also have both those transactions and tickets. In Colombia, we've had some pressure because of the devaluation on some of the ingredients whose price is tied to the dollar. But as we said, we've been very careful with our price increases, making them gradually, and so that we wouldn't affect the fundamentals of the business. The figures that you see here, the specific, it's a planned issue, and we believe that the margins are going to be always within the higher part of the range. In all our geographies, we maintain strong dynamics in remodelings and openings, and we intend to continue that. This is a business with a big future for Grupo Nutresa. This allows us to have direct contact with the consumer, and we're taking steps to grow it every day and to help with the results for the group. But this EBITDA should not be taken for this period as something that will be constant in the future. Thank you. Now, we have some questions through the teleconference. If you ask, you want to ask a question, please dial asterisk 1. If you have any questions, dial asterisk 1. We have a question from Mr. Andres Soto in Santander. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio, José Manuel, José Alejandro. The EBITDA in the retail food seems to be more stable and have recovered. And the idea, are you going to maintain market shares or are you going to adjust them compared to the current levels? Thank you, Andres. Let's say that what we see is in Colombia is a dollar which is highly volatile, and we have come down to levels before 2,900 or below 2,900 pesos. There are no basic changes that will allow us to ensure that it will be at those lower levels. But in your question, after 2015, where we were very active in our pricing strategy, what I can say is that to the extent that we are within proper profit levels, we are going to activities that will enable us to recover our volumes. We're not going to touch the prices if it is not necessary. We're going to have that EBITDA will allow us to decrease our debt levels and will allow us to review in the future the opportunities for inorganic growth. That's very clear. Thank you. Juan Jimenez asked through the webcast from IGP Investments. Good morning. I'd like to see your vision about the leverage of the company. What is the ideal for a company such as Nutresa? Where do you intend to be in 2 or 3 years from now with respect to the relative level compared to the EBITDA? Thank you very much. Thank you for your question. Let's say that we ask a consumer company like ours with the dynamics in growth can have approximately 3 times debt net to EBITDA without its rating having any changes. We don't say that. That is been said by the rating agency. Historically, Grupo Nutresa has used its debt capacity within those limits that we've mentioned to advance in its acquisition strategy. And for several years, we didn't have any debt. And we started to use our debt capacity to grow in activities that we have, even in starting new businesses. We could even go up to 3 times. It's a very healthy indicator. Our rating agency has said so. We use that level. We up to 2.57 this year and the following years, but we will be using that capability that will help that debt amortization to use our acquisition strategy for the growth in the future. Mr. Jairo Guerrero from Grupo Colombia. Good morning. I have 2 questions. The first is, this is a month of the second quarter. Now we see a small decrease in the sales levels. How do you expect this second quarter to be in this terms of sales volumes? Because you have seen a deceleration of internal consumption in Colombia. And the second one is related to the Venezuelan market. Carlos Inés told us about the new rate of exchange you're using, but as a percentage of sales, this shows a slight increase compared to the previous quarters in the Venezuelan market in just as total pie. What do you see in this market? What's going on? What in the short term? What do you expect? Thank you, Heider, for your question. First of all, with respect to the volumes in Colombia, when I'm going to, from the general to specific, when you analyze the Nielsen basket and compare the ratios between price and volumes with different mass consumption products, specifically in foods, there is a pretty similar behavior to Grupo Nutresa's. The explanation for the behavior has a lot to do with the dynamics of inflation in the country. And what we've said in general terms and in the conferences by the Minister of the Finance is that Colombia, the climate change that we've seen all throughout the country, we would expect that some of the factors that led to that inflationary pressure would ease up, and in the second quarter, they would have a lower inflation. That comes with some central bank measures that are trying to reduce the inflation. Lower inflation and a behavior of profitability in the group, we might not have to increase our prices and have more ability to invest in marketing, could lead to our having a rebound and that those volumes growing in. We have significant shares, and we trust, as we said in the outlook, that we're going to have a good dynamics. Now we are already into the 1 month of the second quarter, and what I can say is that the dynamics continue to be positive, and this is what we're seeing. I don't think it's going to be the year of major volume growth, but we don't expect any going to a shock into a sharp drop in our basket. There are no indications to that. We're expecting a rebound, and that some categories will recover their volumes. Obviously, each reference in each geography has a different elasticity curve, so the results will not be the same in every category. With respect to the Venezuelan market, our presence in Venezuela, perhaps the previous year, in two conferences, we went more into details, but I'll review that gladly. We have a distributing company that has three employees and only ship products to Venezuela when they have dollars to pay for them. We don't have any outstanding invoices. We only send the product when we have the dollars assured. And we have a cold cut producing company. That's important, but that is self-sufficient. We cannot take the money out of there, but we don't have to invest any money there either. We want to be there for when there's a change in the economic model and there was access to dollars, and we can capture the market, which is high per capita consumption and where our brands are recognized and valued. We are working that with a risk management criterion, and we believe that that should be so. There's a slight change in the country. We can see some growth, but we're not expecting any growth in Venezuela. It goes because of the inflation, but as you can see, the fact that the new rate is a floating rate will help us. I said in the previous conference that we use the opportunities of the law to do that. Rather than a big problem, we have a major opportunity in Venezuela. We have to be very careful in handling the risk, but that's the way we see it. Thank you very much. Any further questions to the telephone? Mrs. Catalina Ricaute from Porvenir. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I'd like to go into more details now that you mentioned the deferred taxes. I have no idea why this tax is mentioned specifically in this quarter. We have a derivative from some transactions overseas that had caused some deferred taxes since 2015, and in this quarter we need to we have the quota, the aliquot that goes for that tax. We're talking about the transactions that we had done from acquisitions in previous years. In Chile, in Chile and in Colombia. Thank you very much. I'll read the question through the webcast by Mr. Edgar Romero from DBWA. What are the three major challenges for the rest of 2016? This is a very broad question, Edgar. I would say that the first challenge is in the midst of an inflationary environment, as I mentioned, being successful in the various categories where Grupo Nutrera participates, where we are leaders, make those categories grow and stimulate growth because we want those pies to grow. The bigger the pie, the better the share. And where we're not leaders, try to get close to our competitors and, if possible, to surpass them. That challenge, I just gave you the title, but has behind it a major marketing strategy, innovation, and channel development. This is the first major challenge. The second one has to do with furthering our consolidation of the internationalization effort. Although we are already 40.5% in sales, we have geographies where all our categories are not there yet. So the idea is to extend those categories and get a better knowledge of our consumers outside of Colombia, and based on that, build some winning proposals or propositions that that's also a major challenge. And the third challenge is that those two efforts that have a lot to do with profitability and growth in sales, we can carry that out always within that margin of development that we have for Grupo Nutresa. This is something that people doesn't see it directly in the results, but allows us to have a greater possibility of generating value in the long term, greater sustainability in such a dynamic world, and will allow us to offer these same figures in the long term. Such a major question. These are three broad answers. Second question is from Mauricio Restrepo. I'd like to know a little bit more about what do you think are the best segments for this year, and what are the opportunities that what is leading to that good dynamics? What are the highlights for the next quarters? Mauricio, thank you for your question. I'd say that it's very complex. In Grupo Nutresa, we want all the categories where we are in. In the past, in previous years, when we were in some where we didn't think that we were the best, we pulled out. First, we all want them. But when you think about it, in a year, who is going to be the strongest? I'd say that the issue of international growth for Grupo Nutresa is key for this year, and I think that all the categories that are outside of Colombia actively have the possibility of producing interesting values, because Colombia, as I said, it's a challenging year in terms of inflation, and where we think that the prices are going to have less are going to be less affected than the previous years. So the first part of your question is everything that is outside of Colombia are significantly of significant interest, and there are some special characteristics and make some categories stronger than others in certain years. And this time, the coffee category has very significant EBITDA. It's a category that has touched the prices less, but it has significant profit levels. Obviously, the businesses that become more attractive are those that are more highly competitive. So we have to take care of the portfolio, and I would say more with the first part of the question that I just mentioned. All those that are outside of Colombia have major opportunities to contribute to the group. Also consumer foods, where we recently received, bought the group Corral about a year ago, and we've been getting it closer to the group, taking advantage of our combined capacities, and I think that represents a significant and interesting opportunity in Colombia and outside. Thank you, Mauricio. Thank you very much. Questions over the phone. Mr. Carlos Rodriguez from Bedford Capital. Thank you for your conference. A question about international volumes, specifically in cold cuts. And TM, look, could you give us a detail of that 14% and 8.7%? What are the most affected geographies? Yes, gladly, Carlos. First of all, with respect to the cold cuts, our international presence is basically in two countries, which is Panama and Venezuela. In Panama, the business has significant growth, and the volume was affected mainly in Venezuela. And it has to do with the hyperinflation in that country, where there are significant price increases, but there is a decrease in volumes. So the cold cuts, that is the full outlook. The secondly, this Montes Lucchetti, what I can tell you is that in Chile, the growth and in international areas, north, and there's good growth, and that decrease is mainly due to powdered drinks in Mexico, a category which after the tax reform with the sugar in Mexico about a year ago, that had some changes in behavior. In general, our market shares are retained or increased, but the volume decreases. But the TM look in general is growing. There are some segments in Chile. I mentioned earlier that some of them are being stimulated, or not so much. There are some categories that are less profitable, and where, because of our strategy, we think that good idea for volume to decrease. But in general, the behavior in Chile is good, and internationally is good. In Mexico is where we have the challenge, and we're working to improve that. Thank you, Carlos. Are there any other questions over the phone? We don't have any more questions to the webcast. We don't have any further questions over the phone. So this will conclude the presentation of results and the conference for this first quarter 2016. We thank you for your connection and your interest in Grupo Nutresa. The contact line with our investor relations line is always open. If you didn't ask any questions, we'll be available for answering it through that line. Thank you very much and have a good day. Thank you. This concludes the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You can disconnect now.